bless you. Open your Bibles with me tonight, if you have them, please, to the book of Proverbs chapter 3. Stand with me for the reading of God's Word, Proverbs chapter 3. And we'll be looking at some text. I am honored, certainly out of my league, to be before you this evening. I know that, realize it. Graduates, congratulations. I am happy for you. You don't know how happy I am for you. And it's been my pleasure and honor to get to know most of you over the course of the last 3 or 4 years while you've been in school. And I'm proud of you. I really am. I am. And I'm excited. As I was sitting up here looking at you, I thought of the potential that lies before us. And I think for you, it's opportunity and it's obligation. And you need to understand that. And I believe God wants to do great things through you. I know you want great things, but He wants it worse than you do for you. Don't forget that. And I'm just excited to be here on behalf of all of us. We want to thank all of the family members and friends who have come. And from my perspective, I want to thank you for your contribution to the life of these graduates. Many of you have had to sacrifice, some parents have had to sacrifice, some spouses have had to sacrifice, and your love and your prayer and your giving and your concern is made tonight possible. And so on behalf of all of the graduates and the supporting pastors, I'd like to say thank you for your efforts in making tonight possible. Let's notice, if we could please, beginning in verse 1 of the book of Proverbs in chapter 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days, and a long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Shall we pray together again? Father, as we come before You in this hour, we recognize the awesome opportunity that lies before all of us. Lord, the opportunity of salvation, the opportunity to know that heaven's our home. Lord, may we never get over that. And Father, tonight, may we understand that this school, these graduates, it's all about Your Son, Jesus Christ, and the salvation He provides. Lord, I pray that tonight He'd be lifted up, that He would draw men unto Him. And Lord, in this time now, I would pray a special blessing upon each one of these graduates. Father, I'd pray You'd enlarge their coast. Father, I pray that You would use them to reach their generation for Thee. God, how we need them. How our cities need them. How America needs them. Oh God, how our world needs them. God, may we never lose sight of the fact, please, that we need You. Bless now our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. We've been hearing all week on the old paths, and I have enjoyed thoroughly the messages that have been brought and preached. This week, the old paths have been discussed. They've been defined for us very aptly, and I thank God for the messages that we've heard. And I think more than just in the last week, for the last 3 or 4 years, however long you've been in this institution, you have been hearing about the old paths. Whether it's been in chapel services or in theology class, whether it's been in the pastoral theology class over and over again, and from this pulpit, as you have sat in the services at this church, you have heard the old paths declared unto you. And I don't think there's much chance of you immediately going out and getting on the wrong path. I don't think that's going to happen. I want to speak to you tonight, though, on how to stay on the right path. How to stay on the right path. You have taken a journey that has brought you thus far. For each one of you, your journey has been different. Every one of you has gone through experiences. You've had ups and you've had downs. You've had hills, you've had valleys. You've had victories, you've had sorrow. And it's brought you to this place. But tonight is considered a commencement service. It's not because it is the ending of something, but rather because it is the beginning of something wonderful. It is the beginning of a ministry that will last the rest of your life if you'll stay faithful and stay right. God can and will use you. He wants to use you far above anything you could imagine, far above anything you could hope, and far above anything you can dream. He wants to use you. He wants to use you to bring people to come to know, bring people to Jesus Christ. He wants to use you to cause people to come to know what it is to live the victorious Christian life. He wants to use you in an amazing way. The question is, will you let Him? With that thought in mind, look at verse 5 if you have your Bibles. He begins by saying, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The first thing we find is the writer of the proverb is speaking. He says there is a need for a trusting confidence in God. If you're going to stay on the right path, you've got to trust in the Lord. You know, there's a lot of things that people put their trust in today. I know people are trusting in their ability. Some people trust in their education. And I'm excited you're getting a degree. I think you ought to finish the course that you came to. I'm not against education. But I'll tell you what my dad told me. One more kink in a pig's tail. Don't put any more pork on the hog. He said something else about a donkey, but I'll spare you the details of that one. The reality is, you can't trust in your education, though it's a vital thing and it's a necessary thing. You've got to trust in the Lord. The word trust here is speaking in context of leaning wholly upon. You're trusting Him to support you and hold you up. And we are to trust in the Lord. You can't trust in anybody else or anything else. It is only in God that we can put our trust. And I can tell you this, the amount of trust that you have in the Lord is going to be based specifically upon the amount of love that you have for Him. If you don't love Him, you can't trust Him. I'm reminded of the story that I read just recently of a group of scientists and botanists who were in the Alps. And they were there discovering new species of plants and plant life and fauna. And as they were there, the little boy from the village nearby had begun to watch them and pay attention to what they were doing. And they, with their binoculars down in a deep, deep crevice tucked away in the rock, they spotted a very rare species of flower that would be of incalculable value to the world of science and botany. And the only way to get somebody down there would be to lower them on a rope. And so they saw this young boy standing there, and they said, listen, we'll pay you a large amount of money if you'd be willing to allow us to lower you down to grab that flower for us. And he thought about it for a little bit, and he said, okay, but I'll be right back. He took off and ran back to the village, and in a few minutes he came back with a man with a little bit of gray hair following him. He said, hey, listen, I'll get that flower if you'll let that man hold the rope. It's my dad. And the reality is that whenever you love somebody, you're going to trust them. And there's going to be challenges that face you in life. And maybe you're here this evening and you've faced some challenges and bumps along life's way. And you've wondered what to do and you've tried other means and avenues of hope and help. And it seems as though you've come up empty-handed every time. And maybe you tried to trust God for a while and you went back to your own way and your own means. And in frustration and disappointment and despair, you always go back to doing things your way. Why is it you can't continue to trust in the Lord? Why is it you give Him things and then you take it back? It's a matter of love. That's why we're commanded to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our being, all our mind, with everything we are, we're to love Him. And when we fully love Him, we'll fully trust Him. You wouldn't give your wallet to a stranger, would you? Now, I'd be willing to give my checkbook to mine to a stranger, maybe balance it and give it back, but I don't think you just hand your billfold to somebody you didn't know. You want to hand it to somebody you entrust with it. That's why you may not give it to your wife either. But you would want to, somebody you could trust. And if you love somebody, you trust them. The more you love, the more you can trust. And let me challenge you graduates especially. You're going to have to trust the Lord. There's no way the work that is set before you can be done except if you're trusting Jesus Christ fully and wholly with all your heart. And the only way you can trust the Lord with all your heart is to love Him with all your heart. And you can't love Him if you don't know Him. You've got to know Him. How well do you know Him? You see, that's what Jesus had in mind. Whatever Thomas said, he said, how are we going to know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And I believe Jesus understood the confusion that would come to mankind. It's almost sometimes as though life is a maze. Have you ever seen a picture of those hedge mazes they have over in Europe? And you can get in there in just a couple of turns and pretty soon you're lost. And in those places they have what's called a hedge guide. And they'll come in and they'll take you and direct you out of that maze and help you find your way out because they know the way. And Jesus for you is the way. And as you're looking for the will of God and direction in life and wanting to accomplish God's will for your life, then my friend, you have got to make sure that you know Him. Because if you don't know Him, you can't love Him. And if you don't love Him, you're not going to trust Him. You've got to know Him. Can I ask you today, do you know Him? Do you know Him first as your Savior? Has there been that time when you trusted in Jesus Christ as the way of salvation for you? Has there been that time when you came to the realization that you were lost and a sinner? And because you're a sinner, you were condemned. And that condemnation, because we're sinners, brings eternal condemnation in the lake of fire. And that's why Jesus came and He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus paid the price for our sins on the cross of Calvary. And that's how we can know heaven's our home, by putting our faith and trust in Him. There's no other way. There's no other way. It's only Him. You see, He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. You see, you and I are called to trust in Him. You know, it's the opportunity for us as believers to find, to follow, and to finish the will of God for our life. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That's what our life is all about. Finding God's will, following it, and then finishing the course that He's called us to do. That's what God wants for you. Are you willing to trust Him? The only way you're going to make it is to trust Him. Now the danger is this. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Then He says, lean not unto thine own understanding. You see, there's a way that seemeth right unto man. The end of that way is death. Always. You see, God has a plan and He has a purpose for your life. But more importantly than the purpose and more importantly than the plan for your life is the person of Christ in your life. And if you've got Christ in His rightful place, if Christ is on the throne of your life, then the plan and the purpose of your life are all just going to fall into place. With that in mind, don't lean under your own understanding. There's going to be times when you're going to want to. There's going to be times when you're going to get your idea about things. Start looking around and pretty soon what you're doing doesn't seem to be working and you're going to start looking for some way to do things better and maybe looking in the wrong place. Don't do that. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You need to keep trusting in the Lord. I remember whenever I was a kid, we went on a family picnic to Tom A's Park in El Paso. Now the parks I've noticed around here are cluttered with like grass and trees and streams and ponds. In El Paso, we don't have that. We got rocks and cactus and then like rocks and more cactus. And it's really neat. We were at this particular place called Tom A's Park on the west side of the mountain. We were having a picnic and there were some caves up there. And there was a path that you could take, a trail that would take you up there. And I asked my dad, I was just a little guy. My brother and a friend of his had gone on ahead and I asked my dad if I could head up there. And he said, sure, but stay on the trail. And I said, I will. And as I got to going, they were on up further ahead of me. And I saw that if I took a shortcut off the path and cut across these rocks and cactus, that I could get there and get higher than what I was. You know what I did? I did just that. I got off the path. And I started walking as I was cutting across there. I got up there and I got to a place where I couldn't go anymore. I don't know what they're actually called. We call them Spanish daggers. They're these cactus that have these prongs that just stick straight up on them. And people have been killed from falling off the mountain and landing on those. They'll go right through you. And they were all around me. And there were other cactus, prickly pear and barrel cactus all around me. And I'm sure I saw a few snakes. And I got scared. And I realized that I was in the wrong place. And I looked back and I could see the path over there and I could see my brother and his friend up here higher where I wanted to be. And I thought, I want to get up there, but I can't get there from here. And I can't get back. And I was scared to death. And I started trying to go. And everywhere I went, I felt like I was bumping into cactus. And I got those little prickly things off the cactus in my leg. And I'll never forget, I did what most mature individuals do when you get in a situation like that. Daddy! I was scared to death. And Daddy come up there and he got me. And I didn't want to call out to him because I knew what he'd say. Boy, what did I tell you? Stay on the path. Now listen to me. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. you and I need to trust Him. And when you and I cannot understand the path that He has prescribed, we need to trust Him because we love Him. And when it doesn't make sense, and when the Word of God and the will of God don't seem to be going the way you thought, and you're looking at others who seem to be ascending higher and faster than you are, and you want to take a shortcut and get there the easy way, stop and remember, you're not to trust in your own understanding, but you're to trust in the Lord. So trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not into thy own understanding. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now folks, listen to me. Half-hearted obedience is disobedience. Time will not allow, but we're told the story of King Amaziah in the Old Testament. Most of you are familiar with it. He was a king who did that which was right in the sight of God, but not with a perfect heart, the Bible says. You see, he did certain things, but he didn't do it with his whole heart. And as a result, the consequence was devastating. It wasn't long until he made wrong alliances and he made bad choices and he had wrong friends and he made bad investments, and pretty soon he died a horrible, lonely death and he lost all that he had. Why? Because he served the God that he had been raised to serve, but not with a perfect heart. And if you're going out of here, graduates, and God doesn't have all of your heart, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. You're going to have heartache and sorrow and destruction. Let me ask you, are you serving God with all your heart? Are you really? Those of you preachers who are here, has He got all of you? Are you serving Him with everything you are? Everything you got? Or do we serve Him out of convenience? I think oftentimes we fail to recognize and realize the full blessings of God because we're not serving Him with everything we've got. I wonder what would happen if this group, if y'all, would go out of here and say, we're going to give it everything we got. God, You got my whole heart. Everything. I'm not holding anything back. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Look at verse 6. He says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. That word way speaks specifically of a journey or a path. He goes on to say, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. As you go through your life, as you go through your ministry, you're challenged here to acknowledge God, be aware of Him, to recognize that it's Him you serve. Remember, it's not purpose. It's not plans. It's not process. It's not promotion. It's a person. It's Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. And if you can keep Him in focus in your life and in your ministry, you'll stay on the right path. If it ever becomes organizations or personalities, you're going to be in a mess. You don't follow personalities. You don't follow organizations. You follow Jesus Christ. Your allegiance is to Him. He's one who died for you. You don't know anybody else like you do Him. You have to be true to Him. He said, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And then I want to notice the exciting conclusion of this. There's got to be total commitment in all thy ways, in everything you do, in every step you take, in every choice you make. You see, your life is a series of choices. You've heard me say that. And you're free to make the choices, and you're about to really be free. And you're going to get to make choices. And though life is a series of choices, and you're free to make whatever choices you want, never forget that you're never free from the choices that you make. They will follow you, and you will follow them. And when you come to the end of the road of your life, you're going to look back and realize that my life has been one choice after another choice after another choice. And that's why it is so imperative for you that in all your ways you acknowledge Him. With every decision you make, with every choice you make, it is, God, what do You want from me? You see, the will of God is not something we cannot know. It's very noble. You say, how do I know? Because the Bible says, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Word of God's going to tell you all you need to know. And when it's not clear, you've got the Spirit of God within you that will guide you and direct you. And so my friends, I'm excited for you. I think the future is bright. I love the last part of this. It says, and He'll direct thy path. The word direct there means literally to cut a path. It's like taking a bulldozer and clearing out some trees. God knows where He wants you to go. You're His workmanship, created together in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now listen to the rest of that. Which God hath before ordained that you should walk in them. Before you were born, God had a plan for you. And though your future may seem unsure, and as you look ahead, it may be scary and indefinite, God knows. That's why you better know Him. Because He's your guide. He's going to direct you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Let me ask you this. What will you be in 20 years? Not where, but what? You see, I'm convinced the path we take determines more what we are than where we go. And God is more concerned with what you're going to be than where you're going to be. Because if you will be what you're supposed to be, you'll be where you're supposed to be. I love you. I want the best for you. Realize that one day your path will come to an end. And every choice you make and every step you take is going to be paving the legacy that you will leave behind. And as you walk across this platform in a few minutes, realize that you're starting to leave a legacy for the next generation. My preacher's here. He left a legacy. Legacy for me. This Bible was my daddy's Bible. That doesn't mean much to most of you. But my daddy left a legacy. Because he stayed on the right path. What kind of legacy are you going to leave? Stay close to the Savior. He won't fail you. He hadn't failed anybody yet. And He's not going to start with you. He loves you today. So love Him. Know Him. So you can learn to love Him. So you can learn to trust Him. Then know His will. Follow His will. And finish His will. It begins with total surrender. Are you totally surrendered? Are you totally surrendered? Have you met Christ as your Savior? What would happen if all of us would sell out from here on out? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Father, we thank You so much for the opportunity to be in this place tonight. God, I would just ask that You'd help us to trust You. Realize You've already cleared the way. And if the way we're going seems too difficult, it may be that we're headed on the wrong path. And Father, though we may not know what's ahead, You do. Father, we want to trust in You in every step. In Jesus' name.